Continue in our studies and series for the year called Living in Denial. That's our series for 2021. And what we're doing is we're looking at some of the promises that Jesus made to his disciples, to his followers, but some of the things that he required for them to take place. And so one of the promises Jesus made to all of us, that those that would follow him would know abundant life, full life. Now, there are people that live life to the fullest every day. There are people that experience life to the fullest every day and get life to the fullest. I get that. But there's something that Jesus promised us that goes even beyond that. And that is it, to be able to live a full and a rich life, not just physically, but spiritually and emotionally. But in order for that to happen, in order for life to be that way, there are some things that we need to do. One is to look for that life, to recognize that there is a different life than what we're born with, to recognize that there is a different life that is much different than the natural life that we come into. The natural life is a good life. I've lived a good life, but I've lived even a greater life because I know my spiritual life is with Jesus Christ. There are many joys in this life, and there are many sorrows. We get that. But sorrow was never supposed to be a part of living this life that God created us for. Adam and Eve were never meant to know sorrow. Adam and Eve were never meant to know sin. Therefore, all of their children, which we are today, were never meant to know sin. We're never meant to know sorrow. We're never meant to experience that in life. That is a result of us being broken. And I know people sort of don't like to admit, hey, I'm broken, but we are. Sin has broken mankind. And so we are broken. And so a result of that is sorrow. A result of that is people die around us. A result of that is sickness. A result of that is people shooting one another and people lying to one another and people taking advantage of one another and doing terrible things to one another. That's all a sign. That's all an effect of living this life full of sin. This life is lived out of the natural, broken, sinful heart of all humankind, the natural life. It's lived from this brokenness. It's lived from this sorrow. It's lived from this life that's been cut short. Therefore, this life falls short, way short of what God intended for his creation. This is what we've been looking at. Our sorrows and our hurts come from the fact that man is broken and affected by sin. I already said that. So we don't live from our spirit in the natural life, but we live from our flesh. Then we said that the spirit life is that which we were created for. To live life led by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. To live life free from the desires of this flesh, from the lusts of this flesh. It is a life that can only be found in Christ, we said. We also said that it is a life that can only be lived out in the Holy Spirit of God. And the third point of that message was, it's a life that is above the natural, but it can't be lived out while we are in the natural. But it can be lived out while we're in the natural. See, some people think, well, I'll live my life with God when I get to heaven. No. God wants you to live in fullness today, even in the flesh. He wants you to live in fullness in the natural man. He wants the natural man to be taken over by the spirit man and the spirit man or woman to lead and guide us into the things that God has for us. And that's where we want to pick things up today. So let's get back to our scriptures for the year again. Matthew 16, verses 24 to 26. Lord, bless your word. Hallelujah. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And so again, Jesus uses some powerful words here, but he uses these powerful words to set up the differences between the two styles of living, the two lives that we can live. This is what he's doing. If you live one way, then this is what you're going to end up with. This is what you're going to get. If you choose to live the other way, then this is what you're going to end up with, and this is what you're going to get. And this is what he says. But it all starts with a very powerful statement here in these scriptures. Listen to this. If anyone desires to come after me, let him or her deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And we focus on these things in church all the time, don't we? You hear messages all the time. You must deny. You must deny the flesh. You must die to yourself. And we're going to get into these messages. These are all going to be part of this series. Listen, I really believe, track with me here, I really believe that this series is much more important than what I knew when God gave it to me back in October this year. I didn't understand it until I started to get into what I would be speaking and laying messages out. And I'm beginning to understand what God is doing is he's going to change our church. He's going to change you. Today's message is going to fire you up in that way, I really believe. But I want you to see, don't miss these. If you're not here for some reason, you're working or you're doing something else, please go online and follow this series throughout the year, because I have a sense that God is going to do something great in the church family of Abundant Living Church. I believe that with all my heart, that this is powerful, what I'm about to bring out to you today. What I'm about to start today is going to change our lives, and it's going to go into greater things. So we're going to talk about denial. We're going to talk about picking up the cross. We're going to talk about following Jesus and all of these other things. But I can't get there without talking about this today, because we miss the most important thing in what Jesus is saying here if we just focus on denial, following the cross, or picking up the cross and following Jesus. These three steps that I just said, denying ourselves, taking up the cross, following Jesus, really aren't requirements. We see them as requirements. Really, they were supposed to be effects of something. And it all comes down to the heart of a man. Have we ever heard that before? It comes down to the heart of the man. Listen, for no one will be able to deny, no one will be able to take up their cross, and no one will be able to follow Jesus Christ. Listen, if they first don't have a desire to do it. Come on, that'd be a great place for amen. We're never going to be able to do those things, to keep those things, if we first don't have a desire in our hearts. And so my first point, there's only 2 points today. My first point is this: we must desire Christ. We must desire Christ. Jesus said it this way to the church in Ephesus. Revelations 2 verses 1 to 7. Jesus is speaking to seven different churches. He's talking about the failures and the strong points of each church body. In this one, he's talking to the church in Ephesus. He says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus, or to the pastor of the church of Ephesus, write, these things says he who holds the seven stars, that's Jesus, in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, that's Jesus. He says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. To him who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit would say to the church, to Abundant Living Church today. Amen. Listen to the mighty works of this church. Listen to the church of Ephesus, because they were doing things right. They were laboring in their community. They were having extravaganzas and doing cornhole tournaments with men or whatever else we do in the community. They were doing these things. They were laboring for the gospel in their community. They did it with a great level of patience. They loved people. They cared for people. They did it with a patience, and they did it with a perseverance. They didn't quit. Understanding, because they understood that they were all doing it for Jesus Christ. They understood that they were doing it for the kingdom of heaven. They were not compromising with the evil of the world, he says, and they knew the truth when they heard it. And if something was not true, they held the people accountable who were teaching it as truth, and they were lying. They were doing it all for the right reasons. They were doing it for their Lord. They were doing it for their Savior. But they missed the most important thing, church. They were not doing it for the love of their Savior. They were not doing their love. They weren't loving what they were doing. They weren't loving the people they were going to. And yet they had patience. It's hard to have patience with somebody if you don't love them. But somehow this church was able to go out and minister in the streets and have patience with people, but they didn't love their Savior. They had lost the love that they had for Jesus. They had lost the true meaning for doing what they did. They had lost their first love, and because of that, he says, they lost their way, and he calls them fallen. He's speaking to a church. You know what fallen means? Fallen means sinful. Reprobate. It means they weren't following him. They weren't walking with him. doing all of these good things. And Jesus tells them, listen, if you don't believe they were sinning, Jesus says you need to repent, turn from your wicked way, and go back to your first works. Wow. What was Jesus talking about when he said first works? To understand that, we need to see what this church did in their beginning. What were their first works? And so we go back to a study on Ephesus, the city of Ephesus. If you know anything about Ephesus, and I think we did a Bible study on Ephesians, if you know anything about Ephesus, you know that Ephesus was a city that was totally devoted to idolatry. Total. I mean, they were the idol capital of the world. We know from the writings of Paul in Acts that they had one of the seven wonders of the world back then. The temple of Artemis, or Diana they called her. It was one of the seven wonders of the world back then. It was so beautiful. It was so greatly built. It was this huge place where people would come and worship this female goddess. We know from Acts 19 that the business of making and selling idols was a very lucrative business in Ephesus. We know this because Demetrius, the silversmith, gets ticked off at Paul when Paul's lessons and when Paul's gospel of Jesus Christ changes the way people are looking at things, and all of a sudden Demetrius isn't making the money he was making for carving Diana and all the other gods and goddesses that he was carving and selling for people to have in their homes. And so they want to lock them up. They want to kill Paul. Now, I don't have the time today to recount that story about Paul and Demetrius, but I do want to go back to that chapter today, and I want to look at the story before it. And you can find it in Acts 19, verses 21 to 41. I'm sorry, that's the story of Paul and Demetrius. I want to go before that. I want to go to Acts chapter 19, reading verses 18 and 19, because it relates to idolatry in the city and what the people did. It relates to their first work. Listen. Now, God worked, Acts 19, verses 11 to 20. I said 18, 19, but let's read the whole story. Now, God worked, verse 11, unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. This is in Ephesus. So that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches." They didn't know Jesus. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered them and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked, and wounded. This is where I want to get to, verse 17, 18, and 19. This became known both to all Jews, to all Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Here's their first works. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Listen, also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. I want you to know this was their idols too. Burned them in the sight of all, and they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver, which I want you to know was a huge amount of money back then. In our day, it would be a huge amount of money. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Jesus says, you've lost your first love. Repent. Turn back to your first works. What are their first works? Their first works were realizing that they were idolaters. Their first works was realizing that they had placed a God over the God of the universe, confessing their sin of that, and not just confessing their sin, but cleaning the house and making sure it all disappeared, making sure it was all dealt with, making sure it was all burned up, making sure that they could not go back to it. Listen, I have in my walk with the Lord of 30-something years now, it's a lot longer than that, never mind. I have in my walk with the Lord, 51 years now, I have with my walk in the Lord found things and said, you know what, God, I know you want me to get rid of this. And so I shove it under a blanket, or I shove it in the closet, or I shove it up in the attic, because you know what? I don't want to get rid of it. And you know what happens? Sooner or later, I find that thing. And sooner or later, that part of my heart that likes that thing or is involved in that thing wants to get it back. Does this make sense to you? Because we've all done it. You see, these people, their first work was what? Cleaning the house. They went through and they said, you know what? This is wrong. This is not right. We have sinned. We're repenting. We're repenting of God. Not only, we're not going to throw this stuff in the attic. We're not going to throw it in the basement. We're not going to stuck it in the junk drawer or stick it in the closet. Because come on, when we do that, we all know that the intent of our heart at sooner or later is to come back to that thing. always. They said, we're going to deal with it. And they bought the books of magic, and they bought their idols, and they put them into the fire, and they melted them and burned them to the extent that it was so much money that these things were worth. They didn't count the cost of worshiping Jesus. They didn't count the cost of following Jesus. And their first works were making sure that they had a first love with Jesus, that nothing else could take his place, that nothing else would be would come before them except Jesus. They to follow him, to live for him. And now Jesus says they've lost that first love. I said it like this: they've lost their desire for Christ. They've lost their desire for Christ. And desire there is a very strong word Jesus uses. I looked it up in Webster's. Desire means to long or hope for something or someone. It goes far beyond the thought of just wanting something. It's an inner hunger. We've all been there. There's an inner hunger for something, an empty ache in the heart, at the center of the being, for something or someone. This is what Jesus is talking about when he speaks of our first love. Kim and I, in the years that we've been married, we got married in 1988. I can't do the math. 32, or was it 32 years, baby? I don't know. 33 years. Oh, it's long. I don't know. Whatever it is, it's a long time. And I'm not saying that in terms of that's what we feel like. Man, we got rid of the kids, man. We're living life to the fullest. You know what I'm saying? Praise God. And I won't go into details. But anyway, we've never been apart for a long time. Usually everything we do is together. We're best friends. We're in this thing together. We're in this cohort together. And so, but I went to Zimbabwe with Brother Wins quite a few years back. It was a 14-day trip. And I loved what I was doing. And I was ministering to Bible school students. We were out in the streets. We were speaking at churches. And, when you're from America and you go to third world nations in ministry, they look at you like you're God, because they know you've got money compared to what they have. I mean, I'm not wealthy, but I'm wealthier than, I'm a rich man in a third world country. And so they look at you like that. I'll never forget when I took Kenny. Kenny was 11 years old when I took him to Peru. And we literally, every city that we went to to put the tent up and to do the crusades, we literally had to get around him and cover him. Because here's this white boy. I mean, he's white. Kenny's white and blonde hair and blue eyes and all the little girls. I want to marry him. It's like he's a rock star coming off the bus. And I'm thinking, how's this 11-year-old kid going to handle this? Because everywhere he is, the girls want him, you know. And so we literally had to surround him, the pastors, and just walk him into the tent and into the stage, because he was like this rock star. They'd never seen, in one town, they hadn't seen a white man. We went so remote back to put this tent up in a place, and I'll never forget that. So I'm in Zimbabwe. I'm not able to talk to my wife as much. I mean, there were ways that we could and things like that, but it wasn't, it was hard. And so come about the 10th day, I want to tell you, there was a desire in my heart now, even in ministry. So I get what Ephesus is going through. There was a desire now that turned home. And that desire was on a lot of different levels, for my wife and for my children and to be home. And so I recognized that I was not being affected the last 3 days like I was the first 10. Does that make sense to you? I understand why Paul writes and says, listen, if a man cannot take a wife to be in ministry, if a man can be celibate, then it's even better for him, because he's not locked down to the things at home. I understood that. And my heart, just one day, I remember it. I don't know what happened. Had I talked to her on the phone? Had something come up in my mind? I don't know what it was. But all of a sudden, my heart, that 10th day in Zimbabwe, just desire for home. And at that point, all I could see was getting home. And I knew I still had 3 more days. I knew I still had work to do. I had to speak in a church. But I want to tell you, I was not as effective. And so I understand first love. I lived it in Zimbabwe. I get it. And I get what Jesus is saying to the church. This was the church in Ephesus, doing what they were doing for the kingdom of heaven, but their hearts were never desiring their king. And let's get back to that thought about idolatry. Jesus says, repent and turn back to your first works. It would seem that Jesus was saying that if I am not your first love, then something else is. Church, I'm going to tell you that's the truth today. If Jesus is not your first love today, then something else is. And this group of people had gone back to idolatry, whether they wanted to admit it or not. Yeah, but we're out in the streets ministering the name of Jesus. Yeah, but we have great patience with these people. Yeah, I mean, we're denouncing the false prophets. I get it. But you lost your first love. Your heart, your desire is no longer towards Christ. You've taken back to idolatry. You may not have an idol in your home. You burnt that. You may not have a book of magic in your home. You burnt that. But there's still something that changed in your heart. There was a desire that switched over like that 10th day in Zimbabwe in my heart. And brothers and sisters, I bring that up because we may not want to admit it today. But if Jesus is not our first love today, then something or somebody else is. Let me say that again, because that hurt me when I was writing it down. We might not want to admit it, but if Jesus is not our first love today, then something or somebody else is. And for the followers of Jesus Christ, Jesus is very clear and calls it sin. He said that the church in Ephesus was fallen and that they needed to repent and that they needed to come back to their first love and to their first works. And so, church, what is it today that has taken the place of your first love? What is it today that has taken the place of Jesus Christ? Is it some addictive lifestyle that is controlling your life? And let's not just limit that to drugs and alcohol, because addictions come in a lot of different things and a lot of different ways. There are a lot more out there. Sex can be addictive. Power can be addictive. Jealousy can be addictive. Anger can be an addiction. Operating in deceit can be an addiction. Living a life of lie. And that list could go on. What is it that you wake up in the morning and say, I want this. I set my mind on this because this is what is controlling my life. Whether you admit it or not that that's controlling your life, what is it that you wake up for and say, I need this? A lot of us in America, it's coffee. Come on, you won't even do your time with the Lord until you have your coffee. Something's wrong, right? Maybe I'm not a coffee drinker, I'm a tea drinker. Maybe if we got our priorities right and said Jesus first, then maybe we wouldn't need the coffee. I don't know. And maybe we'd save $1 million and be able to go on trips and do all kinds of things. I don't know. Because some of your coffee costs extravagant amounts of money depending on where you go. I'm not judging you. I would do the same with tea. I'm just saying, think about this. Listen to me and listen to what I'm about to say, because I really mean it with all of my heart. And I've already said it, but I need to say it again. If you did not wake up this morning and the first thing on your mind was Jesus, we have left our first love. I don't know how to make that any clearer. It's right, isn't it? It really is. If Jesus was not the first thing on our minds today, we've lost our first love. When you were dating, come on, you know what I'm talking about. The first thing you got up with was, man, I wish they'd text me. My wife's been texting. She's downstairs, so she won't know this. Good. She's been texting me the last couple of days when I get up in the morning and just telling me that she loves me. And I'm like, where'd this come from? And I'm like, this is pretty cool. But you know what? Something that she's going through, something that she's feeling for me, it's just encouraged my day. It's made my day. Just a little I heart you. Love it. What's that mean? It means I'm a thought in her morning. I pray Jesus is before me, but I haven't asked her that. So maybe I need to ask her that. But anyway, but isn't that right? When you were dating, it's like, oh, get up. Did they text me? I dated before text. And when I dated, you had to dial long-distance phone numbers. Kim lived in Berlin, and that was a long-distance phone number. So Dad was a little angry with me when I would make phone calls, and we would talk back and forth and those types of things. But you know what I'm talking about. You get up in the morning and think about, oh, well, we went out for the movie last night. Oh, when am I going to see him again? When am I going to see her again? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. All of our hearts have felt it. That's first love. Are you anything like me? I hope you're not. I get a new vehicle, or I get something that I've spent money for, and I set it up in the garage, or it's out in the driveway, or it's in my man cave or something, and I pray you're not like me. But before I go to bed, I got to go flip on the light and just make sure it's there. Anybody like that? Anybody? Good? No? Okay, so thanks, Pablo. Thank you. Thanks for being honest. Or, you know, when we first got the car, I looked out the window, made sure, beep, beep, just make sure it's locked up. Make sure nobody's going to steal my baby. Come on. If you're not there like me, you're there with something else. You see what I'm saying? You know, or I work all day in the garage and I clean it, and it's like, whew, wow. If you've seen my garage, you would know what I'm talking about. And so that night before I go to bed, I go out in the garage and I flip on the light and like, oh, I did something today. Come on, and we celebrate those things in different ways. And maybe you're not like me, but you know what? That's desire, isn't it? When I first got my motorcycle, flip on the light. Hey, baby, I'm gonna ride you tomorrow. Yes, I am. Amen? That's desire. That was a little bit much. It's not what I meant, though. And that is what we should have with Jesus, church. That's why I'm sharing that. That is what we should have with Jesus. Not only that, but that's what Jesus should be to us. And so my second point today is this. Not only must our desire be Christ, Christ must be our desire. Amen. The definition of desire that I previously shared with you was the verb, to have a desire for something. Now, this definition is desire as a noun, and it is a conscious impulse towards something that promises enjoyment or satisfaction in its attainment. It is not just longing or hoping for something. It is now that thing that is longed for and hoped for. So we must have a desire for Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ must be our desire. Can I ask you this morning to close your eyes with me? Online, close your eyes with us. And let's just silence everything around us, just my voice. And that's just you and Jesus right now in this moment. You and Jesus, Jesus and me. I want you to focus on your Savior today. Just whether you see his face, whether you think about the good things that he's done for you, just focus on your Savior today. Just think about Jesus today. Focus on what he has done for you. Focus on the cross. See the cross. See the empty grave. See salvation. Live salvation. Experience salvation. Think of what he's done for you just this past week or this past month or this past year, even with COVID. Just think about Jesus. And then search your heart for the answer to this question. When was the last time that Jesus was my desire? When was the last time that everything I did and everything I committed to, everything I spent, everything I put power to or thought to was just to spend more time with Jesus, because he is the fulfillment of my joy, my anticipation, and anything else that I need in my life? When was the last time? Think about that. Hallelujah. All right, open your eyes with me. One of two things just happened. Either you were very excited about what Jesus means to you, and this became a personal time of praise and worship to him, or you just realize that you've lost your first love. I believe, like many Christians today in the American church, where we're just comfortable, just living out life, just going through the motions. Listen, church, Christ must be our desire. Christ must be our desire. There can be no other. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 22. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother." And the man answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come, take up your cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word, and he went away sorrowful, for the problem was he had great possessions. This is the story of the rich young ruler. It is not a parable. This is a real incident that Jesus lived and experienced. This man wants to be a follower of Jesus Christ. He wants eternal life. He wants the product of knowing Jesus Christ. But he didn't want it more. He didn't want Jesus more than his desires for the things that he had collected, for the possessions that he had, for the riches that he had stored up. He thought he was perfect. "Jesus, I've kept all of these things since my youth. I've never broken the law." Well, we know that's a lie, because there's none of us that have ever lived in the human life that can say that we've not broken any of those commandments. You see, Jesus was making a point here. No longer in Christ was it about the commandments. It was about the heart. It was not about the things you keep. It's about the things you let go of. It's about the things that you're willing to release. And this man thought it would be easy to follow Christ. And I think sometimes in the American church, we trick ourselves to think that following Jesus and living for Jesus should be easy. And I want to tell you, if you've not experienced this and don't know this yet, it is not. And it should not be. But it's church family. Remember the title of this series. Think about the series. Think about what we're talking about. Living in denial. Jesus is very clear. There is a death that must take place in our lives so that we can really live life in Him. But you're not going to be willing to take on that death if you don't have a desire for Jesus. And if Jesus is not your desire. I just feel today that God is speaking to hearts. I'm not finished yet. I'm going to finish in just a second. But I just feel that there are hearts today, online, in this house, that have a skin around. This is what I saw during our singing. It's not in my notes. This is something the Lord told me to do at a certain point in my message. That there's hearts today, and it's not your human pumping heart that's pumping blood through your system. It's your inner being. It's the center of who you are. And there is a hard skin, a callous skin around that heart of you today because of things you have experienced at the hands of other men, other women, other people, other churches, other things that have happened. Maybe even in this church, there's something that has happened. And so your heart, your inner being, who the center of who you are, has grown a wall, a callous skin around it. And so to come back to your first love, it's very hard because you're hurt. Because there are inner scars. Because there are things that you have sensed and felt. And this is more than one person today. I don't believe God would have gave it to me during our first song of worship today if this was for just one person. This is for a group of people in our midst and online today. And you're sitting there today saying, I get it. It's me. I've allowed a wall to be built in relationships with certain people. Or with other people, or with all people, because this came to me as a child. I was abused. I was this. I was that. And I try not to think of things that I know because, you know, if you're working in prophetic and if you're working in word of wisdom, then you got to be careful. You separate things that you know about people. Because right now people would say, well, I just told him that or this or that. I get that. But that's not what it's about. This was, I didn't see you in my mind. Jesus saw you. And today there's this skin, there's this callousness, there's this hardness around your center being because of how you were treated, because of what's been done to you in the name of love, in the name of relationship, in the name of Christ, in the name of all kinds of things. You've been hurt, you've been injured. But Jesus says today, I'm going to remove that. I'm going to remove that skin. I'm going to perform open heart surgery on your center being, on the center of your being today. And I'm going to remove it because you're fallen and you can't get up if you don't know how to come back to your first works and back to your first love. And so I just want to pray for you today. If you want to stand, if you want to stand and believe this by faith, that this word is for you, then I'm going to tell you to stand. If you're home, stand. If you're in the house, stand. We're not going to look at you. I'm not even going to look out to know who it is. My eyes are closed. It's not my business. This was not something Jesus told me to do. It's something He told me He was going to do. I'm just obedient. I'm an obedient servant to the master of my life. So if that's you, stand today. If you can't stand because you're embarrassed, I get it. But there is something to saying, no, that's me. Jesus is speaking to me. I'm expecting a healing today. It's called faith. And when we arise in faith, we give Jesus the room to move in our lives in ways that He couldn't move before because our faith wasn't there. I believe today, just me saying these things and knowing you knowing that it's you, what's happening is Jesus is saying, here it is. I'm speaking to you. I'm touching you. This is about you and me, not about anybody else. And so have your faith. Let your faith rise today. Let me speak into your life today and let me do something. Jesus, in the precious name of Jesus, I ask you right now that you would touch these lives that are standing at home, that are standing in this place today, God. I don't know who they are, God. You know who they are. You put it in my heart today to have this prayer, to seal it with this prayer today, that Jesus, you would touch their heart, that you would touch their inner being, that you would take that skin, that you would take that hardness, and God, you would just make it soft again. Lord, that you would give them the ability to love, that you would give them the ability to venture in love, that you would give them the ability to sense a new love, your love, your love that is perfect, your love that will never hurt, your love that will never scar, your love that will never bring pain, God. And God, you said you're doing that today because you want them to come back to their first love. You want them to know their first love, and that needs to be you. You need to be their desire. You need to be our desire. Our desire needs to be towards you today, Jesus. God, I pray right now for a miracle. I ask right now, God, that even though tears will flow and or other emotions might come up and even pain might come up, God, that you're dealing with the hearts of these ones today, of these loved ones today, of your children today. God, you know exactly what to do. You know how to do it. You know what area to touch of their lives, and you know how to do it perfectly. And so, God, just do it today in the precious name of Jesus Christ. I commit them to you, God. Lord, and we thank you. And we thank you today, God. Could we, without opening our eyes, because we don't want to be looking around, could we just begin to praise the Lord and thank him for what he has just done in the midst of our church family, in this house and in homes all around the country? Could we just praise him today? Jesus, I thank you. Jesus, I glorify your name. You knew where I was today. You knew where I'd be sitting today. You knew I'd be listening today. You knew that I would have this on my TV, on my phone today. You knew, and you cared enough to touch my life, to touch my heart. And now, Lord, let me live it. It's not enough just to have it done. Let me live it. Let me go out of this place or turn this TV or this phone off rejoicing in what you have done in my heart and in my life today. Lord, help me create a desire for you. And Lord, you become my desire. You become my desire. In Jesus' name. And those of you that are standing, if you are, you can sit down before I open my eyes. Just sit down today. Amen, Jesus. Amen, Lord. Let's finish this today. I have 2 minutes. This rich young ruler was not ready to make Jesus his first love. And I believe that there are many who accept Jesus for the first time in their lives and don't realize what it means. They come to the altar. Pastor, pray with me. You know what they want? They want fire insurance. They don't want to go to hell. But they're missing out on the greatest part of it, to love Jesus from everything that they know, from everything that they are, to love him from their being, to have a desire for him. This rich young ruler could not get by the things that he owned. He couldn't get by the things that he possessed. And there are people in churches today that lift their hands and worship him, but they don't know Jesus. They're not living for Jesus. They're doing it out of their own hurt. They're doing it out of their own heart. It's a facade. Their hearts are not really invested in what they're doing. And there are others in churches that know how to pray, and they know how to speak, and they can say the part, and they sound the part, but they're fooling themselves. And you know what, church? They're not even fooling themselves, because you and I know when that's us, when we're in that situation, we know it. We know it, and we're hurt inside, and our lives are devastated inside, and we go home with an emptiness in our life from church because, well, nothing really happened. Oh, I shouted, and I danced, and I sang, and I prayed, and man, that was the best prayer I ever said, and I put $100 into the offering plate. Big whip. Well, you go home, and you're empty, and you're deserted inside because you've never allowed Jesus to love you, and you've never experienced love for him like what he wants you to have today. There are many listening to this message today, and deep down it's hitting hard because we all know that Jesus isn't truly our first love, and he hasn't been for a very long time because we've simply allowed other things to take his place. But praise God, Jesus says, then repent. Repent. Come to me today. Turn back to me. Stop doing what you're doing. I think that he even meant to the church in Ephesus, listen to this. I think that he even meant to stop doing the ministry in the streets and to stop being patient with people and to stop being caring for people until they got right what needed to be done right, and then they could go out and do it again in the right motive. I believe that. So stop your speaking. Stop your this. Stop this. Just come back. Spend time with me. Just come back to your first works. When you realize that I was all that you ever needed, when you realize that I was everything that you ever needed, and in the midst of that, you gave everything, you burned it all, you did away with it all because you were willing to pay the price to follow me. Church, what were your first works? Do you remember the day you accepted Jesus? What were your first works? What did you do? Did you burn things? Did you get rid of things? Did you change relationships? Did you... So what are your first works? What was it that turned you toward Christ? What was it that made your heart beat for Him? Do you remember how happy you were when you started the Christian walk? Do you remember how excited you were to get up the next day as a new believer in Christ? Have it again. Come back to it. Find Jesus again. In my marital counseling, when I have couples that, most couples that sit in my office, not premarital, marital counseling. I mean, they've been married for a few years and they come back and, Pastor, we've lost the love. Pastor, we're not doing things together. Pastor, we don't even know if we love each other. Pastor, we're talking about giving it up. We're talking about walking our separate ways. And the first thing I do is just listen, sit them down and say, listen, what was it like when you first met one another? Oh, Pastor, I couldn't live without her. Pastor, he made my heart beat for him every day. They can get back to that. Pastor, we don't know how. We've had children. We've had this. We've had that. I get it. So you know what you do? Kim and I went through this years ago in our marriage. You tell the kids, you know, guys, we love you. Love you with all of our hearts. But you know what? Me and Mommy are taking one day a week for date night. And we're leaving you at home with Grandma. You can have hot dogs or baked beans or whatever you want. But you know what? We're going out to eat. And we're going to see a movie. Because someday you guys are going to leave us. And I don't want to look across the table from this woman and say, who the heck are you? And how do we go about this life together without raising kids? So I tell them, you got to start dating again. And they look at me, really, Pastor, we can do that? Yeah. Start dating again. Start holding hands again. Don't lock the kids in a closet, but put them with somebody. And I've even offered them, listen, if you need me and Kim to come over and babysit, we'll do that for you. But you need to establish something in your life that you've let go because of the busyness and the chaoticness and the ritualists of life. So start dating again. Start looking across from one another and talking. Stop texting. Stop texting your spouse. Honey, don't stop texting me in the morning. I just told the church you made my week this week. But look them in the eyes and have conversation. I go into restaurants and I see complete families. I pray they're not talking to one another. Because if that's the case, they really got problems. But come on, put it away. You know what? I'm going to get myself in trouble here, but I'm used to that. I get on a cruise boat, my phone goes in the safe. No devices. Because there's the woman that I want to spend time with. I don't care. Listen, I don't care if the church falls apart. In 9 days, I'll be back to handle whatever needs to be handled. So Pastor Rick can't get a hold of me when I'm on a cruise. Nobody gets a hold of me. My mom don't get a hold of me. I'll text them. I'll call them the next morning when I arrive. Hey, I'm home. Because that's the most important thing to me on a cruise. And let me tell you, our love blossoms on cruises. And there's something that takes place. And it don't have to be a cruise. I've told couples, hey, Pastor, we don't have money to go out and eat. Then go to McDonald's. Sit in a car if you have to. And just talk to one another. And just spend time with one another. And just love on one another. And care for one another. And do you know how many couples have come back and said, Pastor, that works. I can't tell you how many couples today, because I've counseled them with wisdom from the Lord, it's not my wisdom, still have date nights to this night. To this day. That is their night. You know, Tuesday nights. Beth said to me the other day, I said, Beth, Kim would love to be a part of your thing. And I told my wife, I said, honey, if you want to go to Beth's Stretching with Jesus, you do that. And I forgot to announce that this week. Stretching for Jesus, spiritual yoga, whatever you want to call it, Tuesday night at 7 p.m. here at the church. But Beth said, no, Pastor, you take care of date night. That's your night. It is. It's important. I encourage you the same way to do that with Christ today. Come back. Let him court you. You mean Jesus will court me? Yes, he will. You're his bride. You're the love of his life. Spend time with him. Fall in love with him again. Experience his heart for you. Go back to the beginning. Go back to what it used to be. You see, we've had hurts this year. We've experienced divisions this year. We've experienced brokenness. The world is still not what it should be. I don't know if we're ever going to get back to it. But I pray that the church does. I pray that the body of Christ does. Come back to your first love. Put aside those things that are trying to fill his space in your life right now. Our scriptures say to deny ourselves, to take up our crosses, and to follow him. But I will tell you today, church, as I told you in the beginning of this message, I end with it. You will never be able to do those things if you first don't have a desire for Jesus Christ, and if Jesus Christ is not first your desire. Amen.